Would to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, you'll probably notice on the back of the bulletin you have a place to take notes. We don't have the details of the points that I normally like to do. It's just been a crazy month or two, and I just was not able to get everything down ironclad early enough before we printed. So we are in 1 Thessalonians. And I'm going to be looking for my notes because they're not here. That's weird. That's funny. I have a sermon. I really do. I know where I'm going to read, and then we'll pray, and then I'll go look for my actual notes. So how about that? Maybe they fell down somewhere. I don't know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And here's where we're really going to focus today. Verse 6, it says, and you became imitators of us and the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Lord God, we're so thankful that we have your word before us, that we can learn, that we can be inspired, we can be encouraged, and we can be challenged. And I pray, Lord, that we are all of those things today. I know for myself it is important to be challenged by the words you give. And I ask, God, that you will anoint us all to hear, that we will hear your truth, that we will hear your voice, hear your still small voice, the conviction of your Holy Spirit, may it be strong. But may also your grace and your love and your kindness to lead us as we walk by faith. I just ask, God, that you help me to speak your words, and that it'll be glorifying unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go grab my notes. I know where they are. They're in that bulletin I forgot to grab. What are we doing out here? Well, oh boy, Pastor Emma, thank you for that, those kind words. Just to get a little taste of what Pastor Emma really enjoys doing, she has a group called Wise Guys, and she enjoys a short lesson or devotional, and then she shares a whole bunch of different stories and jokes. And so she actually lent me a few of those, and I'm going to read just a couple. Here's one. My wife's doctor wanted to wean her off antidepressants. You know, antidepressants are pretty common nowadays, right? And here's what happens. What would happen if you stopped taking them, he asked. And she responded, me? To me? Nothing. But all of a sudden, my husband becomes a real jerk. Oh, yeah. Is this the funny page or the not so funny page? I'm wondering right now. If you've been to that, you know what I'm talking about. Here's one that's a little bit funny. It says, my wife had a terrible accident in the kitchen the other night, and I ate it. Oh, there's got to be one against the husbands in here somewhere. Well, here's one for a six-year-old. They're all downstairs, so we'll tell it anyway. My six-year-old loved his pet fish. He watched and fed it faithfully morning and night, but one day while he was in school, his fish died. So I flushed it down the toilet. I told him when he got home, and he was inconsolable. Nothing I said would help. After a while, I finally asked, why are you crying so much? Arching his back, he shouted, I wanted to flush. I remember we got 11 fish. I don't know why I remember 11, but we did. I remember 11 funerals. we couldn't keep fish. I don't know what happened. So fish were never lucky in our house, that's for sure. I want to talk about the Thessalonians today. And the Thessalonians had their problems. If they didn't have their problems, they wouldn't have gotten a letter. How many know what I'm saying? But they had some things that were real blessings. They were things to be thankful for. And in a godly way, they were things to be proud of. And I want to talk about those things. And I want to look at what they accomplished through the power of God in their lives. When we consider them, you need to understand that they heard the gospel preached, they believed the message, the good news, and then they lived their faith boldly for all to see. They lived their faith boldly. It wasn't a hidden thing. It wasn't a secret thing. This newfound faith, this born-again experience, they were bold, and that's something to be commendable. Becoming a child of God was a privilege to them, and they could not and would not take it lightly. They lived and they suffered for the name of Christ. And I believe that their example is something that we should follow. And I think we can learn some lessons from them. So the challenge I have for you, using the Thessalonians as examples. Now, granted, one of the things they did, and it's actually in our text, is that they boldly waited for the return of Christ. And then 2 Thessalonians came along. Because some of them literally quit their jobs and decided to just do church all day long and just pray and hope Jesus comes real soon because I'm starting to get kind of hungry. I mean, that's an exaggeration. But they literally they had to be corrected that, wait a minute, you don't just stop providing for your family. You still got to actually live while you walk in faith. And so that was maybe an exaggerated angle of where they went with their faith. And yet, what does the text tell us? It shows us that all of the region, not just Macedonia and Achaia, but everywhere around, people knew about those that were of the way. The Thessalonians. Have you heard what happened in Thessalonica? Yeah, I've heard there's this group of people. They've given up idol worship. They don't sell the idols anymore. They don't buy the idols anymore. They worship this person of Jesus. They believe he is the Messiah, and they believe he's born. They're born again. And everybody heard about the Thessalonians. And I would love for us, as a body of believers, a family of God, and not just our church, but all of those who are in the Glendive area, that we would be so bold in our faith that the entire nation would hear about, have you heard what's going on in Glendive, Montana? Have you heard about the way? How these people have walked away from the worldly things and they just love on God and they love on people and they just shine with joy and they have kindness and it is an awesome thing to behold. Now, granted, some people will hate that. Right? That's why these people suffered. Because there are those that rise up against the Word of God. And yet they rose up against God, and the people continued to thrive in faith. May we live our lives in such a way that our neighbors know where we stand. I don't know if your neighbor is a believer or not. I sure hope they know that you are. And I hope when they understand that, they recognize your love and not a self-righteousness. Oh, ouch. Oh, somebody say ouch for me. Ow! Don't step on my toes like that. We have to be so careful in our righteousness that comes from God that we don't come across as self-righteous and judgmental. Amen? I remember I was working in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I was hauling truck tires. I worked for a cap shop. Basically, we would retread truck tires. How many know what that's all about? It's quite the deal. I saw the inside workings of it all, how we would put the new tread on, and we would put a new rubber on it, and we put them in these big ovens, and we bake them. It was pretty cool. But I was just the grunt guy. I just went around and picked up tires. And I still remember I was in Milwaukee coming from Appleton, and I was in Milwaukee at a station picking up the truck tires, throwing them on. The guy says, you know, you should really use the ramp or the lift. And I'm like, it takes too long. And so anyway, I'm doing this thing, and then all of a sudden, I mean, the guy just goes on a blue streak of cuss words, like boom, ba-da-boom, ba-da-boom, talking about his night, and it was pretty rash. I won't repeat any of those words, okay? You're welcome. And I didn't judge him. I didn't say, I didn't comment. I basically kept working, and he was kind of wondering why I wasn't commenting. And some other friend comes walking in, and he hears what he's doing. He goes, whoa, stop it. And I don't remember the guy's name. Don't you realize that's a reverend? And he looks at me, he goes, why did you let me do that? I said, let you do what? I mean, you let me go on. I mean, I was saying every kind of word in the book, and you just let me go on like no big deal. You should have stopped me. I said, why should I stop you? I mean, if that's the way you speak, that's the way you speak. I'm not the judge. He is. And I told him, my responsibility is to love you. And he just didn't know what to say about that. Well, I wished you would have told me, he said. And of course, I share that as an example of why do we come across as judging? Why do we come across as I'm better than you? May that never be. Amen? Now, some might say, well, you could have told him, please don't swear in my presence. And I could have, but I didn't know the guy. I want to build a relationship with somebody before I start telling them this makes me uncomfortable. That's just me. That's just the way I was rolling that day. But I hope that your neighbor knows you love God. And I really hope they know you love them, regardless of where they stand in faith. The Thessalonians were known for their faith. And they knew their faith because they did more than just go to church on Sunday morning. They had to have done more. They had to have. Faith in God will produce works in your life. Godly works. Characteristics of God's Spirit coming forth through you and in you. Jesus referred to those things. We see it in the New Testament that we are supposed to take on His characteristics. And when we produce the fruit of God, it changes things. And I think that's important. Look at James chapter 2 with me. James chapter 2, verse 14 through verse 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? That's an interesting question. Verse 15. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe in God, you do well. Even the demons, however, even the demons believe and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So you see, a person is justified by works, not by faith alone. All of this is to say that you should have an active, onward, outward expression of faith in your life. What are you doing for the kingdom? What are you doing that expresses that you love God and you love His people and you love the people of this world that need to know there's a Savior that died on a cross? Is your faith true faith? Only you can answer that. Amen? I cannot answer that for you. And granted, there are some people that are really good at faking church. Right? You know all the right things to say, know all the right things to do, and you actually do a number of works. I mean, those are good things. I always liked the old expression, you can't put the cart in front of the horse. I tried it. I told you that. It doesn't work. I verified it. I put the horse in the buggy backwards. Oh, you put a salt, should have saw poor Ginger. She didn't know what to do. It was a moment of almost exploding hooves and horse tails everywhere. And I realized this isn't good. So I calmed her down and I unhooked the harness and I backed her around out and turned her around and said, okay, now let's go. And she was like, oh. But yeah, you can't put the cart in front of the horse. But there's a cart. Come on. There is a cart. There are works that should follow your faith. And I think we should acknowledge that. Ephesians chapter 2, a great, great passage of scripture that refers to these things that I'm referring. Ephesians 2, verse 8, we all know verse 8. We love verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. We love that. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And we love that. We love it like crazy. Because we know we cannot earn salvation. We cannot put the cart in front of the horse. But let us remember there's a cart, because verse 10 comes along. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, it's almost a contradiction. It's so in the face. It's like, wait a minute. I'm saved because of grace. It's not my works. I cannot earn it. I cannot ever get to the place where I say, now I've arrived. I am simply here by the grace of God. Bottom line, truth be told. But in that grace of which I live, God has a plan. And He wants me to do some things in this life for His kingdom and for His glory. And those things, for me, include standing here and preaching to you to tell you you have something to do for the kingdom of God. My responsibility is to be the voice of God for you in this service today. That's the works of my salvation that God planned. It's not an accident that we're here today together. What is God planning for you? What is it He has all laid out and ready for you, and all you got to do is say, yes, sir, and go and do it? He has something. Never forget. Never, ever forget that truth. Faith produces works. Second Thessalonians, or I didn't even write down the one or two Thessalonians. Let me check this. I have a Thessalonians 2. Let's check it out. See if I got the right one here. It is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you brothers became imitators of the church of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews. The reality is, when you express your love of God and you produce the works that He's called you to do, you may suffer for it. There are those that will reject you. Just be thankful it's not like it is in some of the other parts of the world, where the rejection might mean stoning to death, excommunicated from the family, sold as a slave to the slave trade. Those things happen today all around the world. Who's it happen to? It happens to believers. It happens to homes where children are being raised to believe that Jesus is the true Messiah. And it's a sad and terrible thing to behold or to understand. And yet the faithful will continue to be faithful, even in the midst of such suffering. I certainly don't look forward to suffering for God's name, but I will not allow that to hinder me in what I share and what I do for His kingdom. I saw an article, I didn't read it, but someone, I think it was that Beto guy, is it Beto? He wants for all pastors and churches to be removed from the tax-exempt status if we don't do gay weddings. Now, I didn't read the whole article, and I didn't verify if it actually was said. But if it was said, shame on him, for one thing. And on another thing, it doesn't stop me from preaching the truth. Doesn't matter what your sin is, whatever sexual sin you're involved with, sin is sin. Whether it's heterosexual or homosexual. And that's not going to change. If I go to jail for saying it, so be it. I will not change the message to appease the judges of this world that think we should be silent. And yet, I will love you where you are in your sin. I will bring you hope and joy in the word and the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what we do as followers of God. But we can't condone sin. Amen? And if it brings suffering, so be it. Works are a labor of love is the second point. First one is faith produces works. Number two, works are a labor of love. Love of God produces joy in suffering. Well, that just seems contradictory. That was our text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Well, there's another passage that speaks of this kind of joy. It's 1 Peter chapter 1. Many of you know that passage. You maybe already thought about it as I was speaking of the one before. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and also verse 9. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not know Him, now see Him. You believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You cannot fully express it. The deep joy of God. Some people look at you and you're going through a challenge, you're going through a hard time, or maybe you're talking about what's going on in the government, or maybe you're talking about something about the school bond, and it's one of those things that's just dividing. And yet, through it all, you have a countenance of joy and peace. And your friends and your neighbors that know who you are wonder, what's up with you anyway? Why aren't you mad? Why aren't you angry about this? You should be angry. And you're like, what good is that? You just emulate joy. Inexpressible, full of glory. In the midst of all the chaos of our world, you can have joy. Amen? And that joy is contagious. And the Thessalonians, when they changed from the idol worship to the worship of the one true God, it was known, it was recognized. Things were happening, works were being done. There was obviously a change in such a way that the entire region was talking about it. Wouldn't that be really cool if Glendive was that? I don't know. Is it possible? Well, no. How many in your spirit actually felt that way? Like, no, that could never happen here. Come on. I've heard the negative talk about Glendive. Come on, let's be honest. It's been pretty rough. I mean, people just tear people apart here. It's not good. But did you know that can change? The power of God can change that. Glendive can become this place of community and love and harmony because of the church that rises up with a sincere love and work of God. I look forward to the day. Amen? Amen. It starts with you. It starts right in your heart. You are the first one to begin that stage and that climb and that shift and that change of a community. First Thessalonians 1:8. I realize I'm going back to the text again, but that's okay. It's a good text. It says here that, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we do not need to say anything. It's kind of like stealing their thunder. They're going into a new region, a new community, and they're like preaching the gospel. And by the way, we had the opportunity to share in Thessalonica. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. We know all about that, Paul. You don't have to tell us. Cool. All right, let's move on then. You get the picture. He doesn't even have to talk about it because everybody already knows. That's pretty cool. I heard a story, and I've told this before, years ago, a missionary came and he shared about how he went into a village and he gets there. They've never been touched with the gospel before, never seen a person come from America to share the ministry of God's word. And this guy walks into this village and the chief of the village meets him there. And it was almost like he was expecting him, because he was. And he gets there, and he walks up to them, and I don't know how they communicated, how much they knew of the language, but basically, whether it was interpreter or whether he actually studied the language, I'm not sure, but this is what was asked. Are you the one that has come to tell us about God? And the missionary is dumbfounded. He goes, well, yes, I am. Great. We have a meeting all ready for you. And so he goes into the village, and the entire village is there because they knew that God was going to send somebody to tell them all about him. And so he preached the gospel to those people, and they all got saved. The word of God went forth, and they were prepared. You see, they realized with all the evil and the demonic spirits and all the sorcery and the voodoo going on, it was mostly voodoo, they knew that there's this horrible, deep, dark evil. There must be a God who is good. And so they started praying to the creator of the world, the God of righteousness, in their own language. And so then in a vision, he went to the chief and told him, I am sending somebody to tell you all about me. And he even told him when. Isn't that cool? God can do that. Nothing is impossible for him. We can see the miraculous happen, and you can show up to get your ice cream at the place downtown, and someone sitting there at the table, already enjoying their cone, looks over at you and says, are you the one that's supposed to tell me about God? And you say, yes, I am. What would you like to know? Why not? Why can't we see that happen at the auto parts store when you can't find the part for your vehicle, and you're a little frustrated, but you're okay because God's grace is with you, and you got joy. And through that conversation, you realize, hey, this guy needs to know Jesus. And you start talking, and pretty soon you're praying a prayer of salvation. Why can't we see that happen right here in our community? Well, I'll tell you why we can't. It's because you don't believe it can. But when you believe it can, it will. You want to know how revival is going to happen in Glendive? It's not going to happen from people coming into this church. This is just coming right now. It's going to happen when you begin going to the people. And you don't invite them to church. You invite them to God. You invite them to Jesus. Your prayers are just as powerful as my prayers. Come on. That's how revival comes to Glendive, Montana. When you go to the people. When you sit at the football game and you complain about the reffing. Some of us do that. In the midst of your gripes and concerns, suddenly God speaks. And you're, what was that, God? The lady in the red hat. Okay. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Okay, all right. Come on. Are you excited about this? Come on. We're going to see things happening when we begin believing and listening to the Holy Spirit. If you want to see miracles happen, if you want to see people getting saved, I challenge you, no, I dare you to pray every morning, Lord God, please give me one opportunity today. I dare you to pray that prayer. One opportunity today, Lord. Just give me one chance to share my love with others. Just one chance. And I guarantee every single day you pray that prayer, you will have a chance. And that's when Thessalonica becomes Glendive, Montana. And people all across the region begin to talk and they say, you know what's going on over there? There's people getting saved left and right. It's pretty awesome. The churches can't hold them. They're going to have to build a new church somewhere because they're all packed out. Happens one person at a time, but it happens when you accept and understand and know that you have a responsibility to do the works that God's called you to do, which He prepared in advance. Whether it's driving a bus across terrible roads, that can be a God thing. Coaching volleyball, taking out the trash. I mean, I'm just throwing things out there. Whatever. Find a way that God can use you for His kingdom. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5, we need to start wrapping this up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16 through verse 18. Rejoice every now and then when things are going good. Nope. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In other words, you're always having connection, open communication. God can interrupt your day praying without ceasing. That's what it means. Pray without ceasing. God can interrupt you anytime, anyplace. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We could go on and read about not quenching the Holy Spirit. But I think we'll just stop right where we did and recognize that God has a will for you, and it is this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all things. If you can do that, trust me, everything else will definitely fall in place. Hope that is eternal patiently waits for the fulfillment of prophecy. It's a true statement. John chapter 14, we'll close with this one passage. I'm just skipping one verse. John 14. Verse 1 through 3. We don't have all day. We don't have all year. We don't have all life. Jesus is coming for His church. The bride is getting prepared and ready for the groom to show up and say, come on home, it's time. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus will come back for His bride. And that is a marriage proposal, exactly, almost word for word in its understanding. The groom is preparing the room for his bride. And when the father says, go get your bride, the trumpet will sound and the people will get ready. All the ladies that are engaged will come out with their lamps, because if it's dark, they got to recognize them. And they're going to hope that he'll recognize them. And then they'll go to be with him and they will be married. Jesus gave all these understandings of marriage and he put it to the church and said, you must be like that. Be like those that have the oil, the Holy Spirit. You are ready. He recognizes you and will take you to be with him, to go back to his home that he's building at his father's house. But until that day, until that trumpet sounds to give us the word that the groom is coming, we've got things to do. We've got people to love. We've got a community that needs Jesus, and we need to see that community of Glendive become more like Thessalonica, where the power of God is real. Would you stand with me as we close? From time to time, we close with songs, and I think for this, for today, we'll just not do that. Thank you, worship team, for being prepared for that. But we're just going to pray a prayer that will send us into our mission field. Amen? When you leave this building, you are going into your mission field. And I pray that you find success in the kingdom of God. Lord God, we're thankful that we have the privilege to come together in your house. We're thankful, Lord, that you have given us examples of those who were faithful, that went forth and made changes in such a way that an entire community was shifted over to a different way. And it became something that was known throughout the land. There were probably those that talked of it in a negative way. I can't sell my idols there anymore. I have to quit going in that direction. They just don't buy them. But there are those that would rejoice in that knowledge, to know that your love is real. And I pray, God, that we would have that kind of community here, as we are able to share our love with others, that we take on the understanding of we have things to do. We're not finished yet. As long as I draw breath, I have a mission before me. We all do. May we be faithful to the call, Lord, that we can reach the people and see a community follow after you. We ask for your grace to be upon us, wisdom, that you will light the path in front of us, that we will find our way in our mission. We ask all of this in your precious holy name. Amen.